Jaya Pranamatama Kunjabi Rahuti. Jai Ho Rad Ho Madha Ho Ma Kunjabi Haruti Gopi Jana Palapa Giri Padada Haruti Gopijana palapa kiri pada dahudi Yasurana nana braja jana ranjana Yasurana nana Raja Janu Ranjana Jamuna Te Rabana Chaudi Yamuna Te Rabana Chaudi Jai Ho Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Ho Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopijana Balaba Giri Badada Huti Gopijana Balaba Giri Badada Huti Yasurana nana braja jana ranjana Yasurana nana braja jana ranjana Jumuna te ravana chaudi Yamuna te ravana chaudi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnu Pad Padamahansa Parabhadakacharya Ostutada Satashi Shimad His Divine Grace Abaya Chananada Bhaktivananda Gosami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananda Koti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhaktivananda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radhakrishna, go pick up at the Sayam Kun Radhakunda, Giri Govardhan ki jai, Vrindavanam ki jai, Mathuradam ki jai, Jagannathaswami ki jai, Yamunamai ki jai, Srimati Lasidevi ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi ki jai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. All right. So we are reading today from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 17th chapter, text 16. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay. Ramash Jatyutam Alingya Jahasayanubhava Vit Premna Tam Ankam Arupya Puna Punar Udayakshita Gavo Vrisha Avatsat Taryo Lebhire Paramam Mutam Ramascha Chutamalingya Jahasayanubhavavit Premnatam Ankamarupya Punapunarudaikshita Gavovrisha Vatsatstaryo Lebhire Paramam Mudham Ramascha Chuttamalingya Jahasasyanubhavavit Premnatam Ankamarupya Punapunarudaikshita Gavuvrishavasatyaryo Lebhire Paramam Mudham Ramascha Chuttam Halingya Ajahasayanubhavavit Premnatam Ankamarupya Punapurnaradakshita Gavavrishavasattaryo Lepire Paramam Mudham. Okay. Okay, do it right. I can look for it. Yeah. Udaikshita Vrishava Sattaryo Vibhire Paramamunam. All right. Alrighty. Ramaha Lord Balaram Cha and Achyutam Krishna, the infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead. Alingya, embracing. Jahasa, laughed. Asya, his. Anubhavavit, knowing well the omnipotence. Premna, out of love. Tam, him. Onkam, up on his own lap. Aropya, raising. Punaha, punaha, again and again. Udaikshata, looked upon. Gabaha, the cows. Rishaha, the bulls. Avatsat Aradyaha, the female calves. Lebire, they attained. Parampam, supreme. Mutam, pleasure. So translation, Lord Balaram embraced his infallible brother and laughed, knowing well the extent of Krishna's potency. Out of great feelings of love, Balaram lifted Krishna up on his lap and repeatedly looked at him. The cows, bulls, and young female calves also achieved the highest pleasure. So you can repeat. Lord Balaram embraced his infallible brother and laughed, knowing well the extent of Krishna's potency. Out of great feelings of love, Balaram lifted Krishna up on his lap and repeatedly looked at him. The cows, bulls, and young female calves also achieved the highest pleasure. So there's no purport by the followers of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada to this purport, but I am going to read the purports of the Acharyas. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments as follows. Balaram smiled. You have done just the right thing. Though he was knowledgeable of Krishna's strength, he looked at him intently again and again, Udaikshita. He looked to see if Krishna had incurred any injuries from fighting Kaliya. So Jiva Goswami comments. He then met with Balaram, who had given an opportunity for the people of Braj who were grieving to meet him. That is described in this verse. The word cha indicates that Balaram internally dried up because of the people's sorrow. Later, meeting Krishna, who never loses his powers, Achyutam, taking his hand, he laughed. Why did he laugh? He knew that Krishna could accomplish anything by his will alone, Anubhava Vit. As a scolding, he laughed, as if saying, you have done well making your people of Braj suffer like this. Besides this, other men and women, bulls and calves, also rejoiced. Nara, Naya, Vrisha, Vatsa. Instead of this, Gavo, Vrisha, Vatsatara is sometimes seen. And Sanatana Goswami, after describing the actions of devotees having affection, Shukadeva describes the meeting with Balaram endowed with great affection and also knowledge of Krishna's powers. The word cha indicates that Balaram also internally dried up. Later, meeting Krishna, who never loses his powers, taking his hand, he laughed. Achyutam indicates that Krishna was never devoid of his hair arrangements, etc., or he never falls from his greatness. He knew the various powers, Anubhava, of Krishna, his own powers to manifest the fire to destroy the universe, was nothing compared to Krishna's powers. He remembered Kaliya squeezing him in his coils, or he knew how Krishna could cleverly ascertain how to release himself from Kaliya. Another version has Nara, Naryo, Vrsha, Vat, Saha. Nara refers to the people in general, or to Nanda's servants and the Pulina men. Another version has Mriga first. This indicates that first the cows recovered first, or the sequence indicates the intensity of bliss. Thus Nara plays first indicates Nanda's intense bliss, but others' bliss depended on his bliss. Quite interesting. So what I'd like to talk about, and I don't know if I'll talk about it for the whole class because we may go ahead to the next verse, was Balarab actually getting upset with Krishna, because this is, of course, in the commentary, previous commentary by Jiva Goswami. So, Om Gana Timirandasha Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tazbai Shigurave Namaha. So Balaram getting upset with Krishna because Krishna put the residents of Vrindavan into such stress. So it's interesting because we hear in the Brahma Sanghita, Advaita Achyuta Nadir Ananta Rupa Madhyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhaktu Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. And that verse means that there may be many appearances of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, manifestations, incarnations, avatars, whatever. Ananta, which basically means without an end, right? You're the Sanskrit. Without an end. That means without an end basically means unlimited, infinite, basically, in English. So there's unlimited appearances of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they're all one. They're all the same person. I mean, even using the word they are all the same person, I don't know if that's appropriate. I would just say all the manifestations of the Supreme. It's just like Prabhupada explained, it's like a man in the office is the same as the man at home. But the analogy doesn't hold in all respects, because the man in the office will remember his home life. You understand? So when he's in the office, he'll remember what he does at home. And he'll be perfectly aware, hopefully, if he keeps a web camera at home, he'll be perfectly aware of what's happening at home. And Krishna being, you know, the man in the office, referring to Krishna in terms of the Purusha avatars or other expansions of Krishna, you know, the Chaturvyuha expansions, Vasudeva Sankarshan Pradyunani Ruda. And of course, beginning with Balaram, of course, Balaram's not the man in the office. Balaram's still in Vrindavan. But the other expansions of Krishna actually are in the office, so to speak. You know, there's awe and reverence. So the question is, if they're all the same person, why? Not they, sorry. That's actually the wrong expression. Krishna's expansions are all the same. You know, it's hard to find the right words. But anyway, everyone's the same, for lack of better words. And how can you not be aware of what's happening somewhere, what you're doing somewhere else, if you're the same person? If you're omniscient, if you're omnipresent, if you're aware of what everybody's thinking. We were talking about this in our Bhagavad Gita class tonight, that we were talking about how the super soul, Paramatma, is in everyone's heart, and he's actually aware what everyone's thinking, what everyone's doing. And I use the example of that Krishna is actually in the pig's heart as the pig is entering into the slough, you know, the ditch or whatever it is. And of course, I also made reference to the rainbow festivals and things like people go into the, or Woodstock, where people actually went and with the pigs into the slough. So anyway, so Krishna's aware of that, and Krishna's watching. You know, we hear this all the time, that one bird or two birds are in the tree and one bird is watching the other bird. And Krishna's aware. He's watching through your eyes. He's watching as the super soul, as you're engaged in, you know, illicit activities and private, or as you're rolling around in the mud as a pig. I mean, it's kind of embarrassing, isn't it? When you think about it. Sarasya chaham riti sanavishto matak smritir gyanam apohanam cha. And not only that, Krishna is giving you what? Intelligence, remembrance, and forgetfulness to do your pig stuff. According to your desire. I mean, so that's really omniscience. That's one of God's qualities. So why is it, so taking it back to the topic of this verse, so why isn't God omniscient when he's doing something? And here we find that Balaram is not, you know, always omniscient. Of course, he's omniscient to a certain extent. He understood Krishna's power. But he really, you know, was thinking, why did Krishna, in other words, he didn't know the why of the whole thing. Why has Krishna put all these residents who were very dear to him in distress? Like if you put someone unnecessarily in distress who loves you, that's very bad, isn't it? Like, you know, Adi Purush is at the Hare Krishna temple and he's putting his parents in distress. I know. I'm getting to that point. But I'm saying it's not good unless you have a higher spiritual purpose, that I know. To people, you know, if it's for no reason whatsoever, why are you putting people in distress? So, of course, Krishna is putting them in distress to bring them closer. Because that's spiritual. That was the point you were making. That spiritual relationship is such, and we made that point yesterday, that the more the devotee is in distress, the more he's enjoying and connected with Krishna. And you know, because that's the highest, vipralamba, separation. Or anxiety is much more intense than just like, you know, ordinary life, right? If I'm in anxiety, like a parent has anxiety over their children, or right now we're in anxiety over Bhakti Chumar's situation. So we're thinking of him a lot more. I mean, ordinarily, he's not my guru, but ordinarily, you know, I'll think of him, you know, when I have some business to interact with him on the GBC. And it's not my meditation on him. But when he's in distress, you know, that causes me to meditate on him more. So this is actually Krishna's reason that he wants the devotees to meditate on him in distress and connect with him closer. And this is the point we made yesterday. But the point I'm making today is that Balaram really was upset with Krishna for doing this. You know, and actually, the verse we read yesterday, Narada Muni was upset with Krishna too. Right? Remember that verse I was reading from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita yesterday? That Narada Muni was saying, you know, these are not your, Vaikuntha residents. These are actually your Braj residents, you know, who are very close and very dear to you. So this is because of the nature of yoga maya. So yoga maya can affect each and every one of the Lord's expansions differently, which is interesting. I mean, it's not that, all right, yoga maya makes Krishna forget that he's God, but it makes Balaram forget that he's God or forget what Krishna is doing in a different way. I mean, it's like when Balaram, here's another example. What's that? Maybe someone can. There's a thing over there. Just shut it off. Yes, they're over right over there. It's off. It's okay. It's forgiven. So just like you have those incidents where the calves and the coward boys were stolen by Lord Brahma, and Balaram was like amazed that, you know, how come all the calves and, I mean, the older cows and the mothers were actually showing more affection for their children than they were before, because their children had become Krishna, or Krishna was manifesting himself as their children. So you see, in many instances, Balaram is not aware of what Krishna is doing. Or let's take the instance in when Arjuna was going to kidnap Subhadra. Everybody knows that. So Krishna made the plan that Arjuna would kidnap Subhadra, and Balaram wasn't aware of it until it happened. Right? And he and Krishna are the same person. They're the same. That's so amazing if you think about it. So Arjuna kidnaps Subhadra, or Subhadra's driving the chariot, so she's kidnapping Arjuna, as the case may be. And Balaram is getting really upset, calling the soldiers of the Yadu dynasty to basically attack Arjuna, either capture him or kill him or whatever, because he feels that Arjuna has actually defamed the whole Yadu dynasty by kidnapping Subhadra when she was meant to be married to Duryodhana, right? And so then Krishna's just standing there smiling. And Balaram says, why are you just standing there smiling? You know, why aren't you saying it something? And then Krishna intercedes, cools Balaram down. And there's so many instances of that. Another instance is when Duryodhana is fighting with Bhimsen after the Battle of Kurukshetra, or at the end of the Battle of Kurukshetra. And then Krishna shows Bhimsen how to kill Duryodhana. He keeps slapping his thigh. You know, hit him below the belt, Prabhu. And so finally, and Krishna, you know, Krishna's the one who makes the trick, so that Duryodhana is vulnerable below his belt. And so Bhimsen does that, and Balaram gets really angry, and Krishna has to cool him down. So that there are so many instances of, like, even sometimes disagreements between Krishna and Balaram, right? It's really amazing. It's really amazing. Disagreements or different strategies or misunderstandings between Krishna and Balaram. And so here's another instance of misunderstanding or... whoops, there it is again. Okay, went off. Here's another instance... not between Krishna and Balaram, but let's say Krishna and Mahavishnu. There's that story where this Brahmana in Dwarka keeps losing his sons right after they're born. And, of course, it's Mahavishnu who's stealing the sons. And so he goes to the assembly house, Sudharma assembly house, and he says, what kind of a king are you, Rasena? And Krishna, of course, assisting the king. You cannot even protect my children. And Arjuna's there at the same time, and Arjuna says, basically, I'll protect them. I'm the mighty Arjuna. And if I can't protect them, then I'll give up my life. So he goes, he can't protect the last son, the Brahmin, from being kidnapped or disappearing, whatever. And Arjuna gets ready to commit suicide. In Japan, that's called harikari, where they disembowel themselves. So anyway, he gets ready to commit suicide, entering the fire, actually. And Krishna says, nah, it's not a good idea. So he gets on his chariot, takes Arjuna, and goes, passes through all the coverings of the material universe, and gets to Mahavishnu, and Mahavishnu says, you know, I made this trick so I could see you. You know, I wanted to see you. And, you know, and Krishna says, okay, Hare Krishna. Of course, he doesn't say Hare Krishna. And then they go back. I mean, it's just, to me, it's such an amazing fact that there's actually disagreements, not understanding what's happening between the different incarnations. And he's always the same person. It's not that we worship many gods. We have one God, Ekala Isra Krishna Arasabda Vritcha. And I remember when I was young, sometimes you'd have these movies where one person would play several parts. I don't know if you've ever seen those. There's one girl, I forget her name. She would play two parts or three parts in the movie, and they would use some camera tricks like that. But they were always aware what they were doing. But Krishna's and his expansion are not always aware. And yet he's omniscient, you know, contrasting this omniscience with his lack of awareness. And this is because he voluntarily puts himself under Yogamaya to enjoy these different interactions. Because if he always, and all the expansion of his were always aware, hey, we're just an expansion of Krishna here, you know. You know, then where would the fun be? So this is getting back to the psychology of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As we've mentioned many times before, when Krishna does something, there's only one motivation behind it. I mean, there's secondary motivations, but there's only one motivation, which is to enjoy. And when Krishna, and even his compassion for us is because he wants to enjoy with us. He's missing us. You know, there's some lack that he feels. I mean, actually, he's not lacking anything. As we know, you know, Om Purnam, Purnam Idam, that the Supreme Personality of God is perfect and complete. He's not lacking anything. And even so, you know, the Ishapanishad says, even though there are so many perfect and complete manifestations that come from him, he remains perfect and complete. It's not that, you know, he creates the material world and then, you know, he has 50% less energy after that. Can you imagine? You know, just like I do something, you know, I go swimming and I feel a little less energy. I sort of used up my passion for the day. But Krishna, it's not like that. And so, and then also he has Lakshmi Sahasra Sata Sambrama Sevimanam. He has unlimited Lakshmis, he has Surabhi cows, and so many things in the spiritual world. So he's not lacking anything. He's not lacking anything. Yet he's lacking, in one sense, you know, emotionally, he's lacking us. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita story of Gopakumar, he's depicted as, when is Gopakumar coming back to me? I miss him, basically. And Krishna takes the part of Gopakumar's guru to give Gopakumar the mantra so that Gopakumar could eventually come back to him. He's missing him. So these are the amazing qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That even though he's completed himself, he's hankering for us, he's hankering for our association, he's missing us. Even though he's completing himself, even though all those incarnations, manifestations, avatars, at least the Vishnu Tattva, avatars, or let's say expansions, that would be more precise. Because avatar means to descend. It's not that all of Krishna's expansions necessarily descend. So each and every one may be thinking differently, simultaneously, and he's the same person. And so this is the inconceivable nature of God. I mean, I think hearing these descriptions makes you just simply appreciate how God is, achintya, inconceivable. So I think That's all I have to say about this particular verse. Should we go on or should we take some questions? Go on. Okay, so we will go on to the next verse. I mean, most of these verses are just descriptive. There's not too much to say about them. I just was amazed at how Balaram was actually, at least in his mind, chastising Krishna in this particular verse. So, in this particular instance. So, text 17. Nandam viprasama gatya guravasa kalakchakkaha uchuste kaliha grasto discha muktastavatmajaha. So the translation is, all the respectable brahmanas, together with their wives, came forward to greet Nanda Maharaj. They said to him, your son was in the grips of Kaliya, but by the grace of providence, he is now free. So Vishwanath Chakravarti says, Gurava refers to Purohits, such as Bhaguri. Jiva Goswami says, the brahmanas spoke out of bliss. Guru Vaha refers to the priest. Vipra refers to other brahmanas. The brahmanas had left Braj along with Nanda to come to the lake. Now they came close to him. They were famous as great devotees. This is good fortune for us and you, Sanatana Goswami says. The brahmanas spoke out of bliss to satisfy Nanda. Guravaha refers to the priest. Vipra refers to the other brahmanas. Or Guravaha can modify Vipraha, great brahmanas. They had left Braj with Nanda and now approached him. By coming with their wives, they became famous as the highest devotees. By good fortune, Krishna is free. This is good fortune for you and us. Being joyful, immediately hold a festival. This verse shows that brahmanas were intent on satisfying Nanda. By those respectful words, Nanda became most affectionate to his son. And maybe we'll go on to the next verse. Dehi danam dvijatinam Krishna nirmukta hetave nanda prita manarajan ga suvarnam tadadishat. The brahmanas then advised Nanda Maharaj to assure that your son will always be free from danger. You should give charity to the brahmanas. I'll explain that. With a satisfied mind, O King, Nanda Maharaj then very gladly gave them gifts of cows and gold. And Jiva Goswami replies, ah, being joyful, you should perform a great festival. Sanatana Goswami says, ah, being joyful, you should perform a great festival. So it may appear here that the brahmanas have some pecuniary or financial interest. It's not, like you think about Kali Yuga brahmanas who have a list of different sacrifices they perform. And they have a price list at the same time, and they take MasterCard, Visa, and American Express. You see that. Even some temples, you know, it's shocking that you can have your Griha Pravesh perform for some hundreds of dollars or whatever it is like that. But the actual brahmanas should be interested in performing the ceremony, and then whatever people give, they give. But in this particular case, they were not greedy. Because these brahmanas were pure devotees. So these brahmanas understood the Vedic system that if Nanda Maharaj gave cows and gold, it would be for their benefit. They were speaking this not simply out of, not at all out of personal interest, but they were saying this for the benefit of Nanda Maharaj. You know, just like Prabhupada would say sometimes when he gave initiation, you should give Guru Dakshin. It's not that Prabhupada needed Guru Dakshin. Or Prabhupada was thinking, you know, hey, this is good, giving initiation. You know, you get all this Guru Dakshin. Nowadays, of course, there's some discussion on the GBC conference about Guru Dakshin, how to take it from the poor, suffering gurus. Yeah, give it to the poor, suffering Prabhus. Anyways, there's some discussion about that, but that's actually part of the reciprocation. You know, what do we hear? Dadati prati granati guyam akyati prichati bhunte bhojyate chaiva. That devotional service increases by reciprocations, by giving gifts, accepting gifts, and that's the brahmana's duties. And so you many times you'll find brahmanas, like in the sacrifice described in the Bhagavatam, like King Marut, who was doing his sacrifice, the brahmanas get so much gold, and they're not interested. They just give it, leave it there. One of the reasons Arjuna is called Dhananjaya is because he collects wealth, not by going to the bank or robbing people, but there are many sacrifices. This is described in the Bhagavatam, and also the Mahabharata especially describes this. Many sacrifices, the Brahmins get all this wealth, and they're just too heavy. And even if they get the wealth, what do? They give it away. And that of the Brahmin thing, so many sacrifices I perform today, so many more will I do tomorrow. Just like one time I was doing a sacrifice, and people put gold coins, it was in Mexico, gold coins in the sacrifice, and I was thinking, this is the best sacrifice I've ever done in my life. And then, after the sacrifice, I said, thank you for your donation. They said, no, we were just purifying our gold coins. So, I mean, that's quite interesting, putting the gold in the sacrifice. So the point is, that's part of a devotional exchange. So the guru has a right to ask for dakshin. And I've done that sometimes too, because that actually is the culmination or the solidification of the initiation when there's some dakshin given. Now the dakshin, you know, I remember when I collected dakshin for Prabhupada after or when I got initiated, I think it was only $25. But I went out in the street, went to people's homes and said, basically, my guru, this is for my guru because I'm taking initiation. And people gave it. It was very purifying. So that's the point. The brahmanas are not being greedy here. So any questions or comments? Yeah, I mean, Balaram's worried that Krishna got injured. You know, did he break a limb? Does he have some scratches on his body? And he has a spiritual body. I mean, it is amazing. They're actually, in one sense, an illusion, but, you know, Yogamaya illusion, that they have fragile bodies, and they can die. I mean, it's amazing. Krishna has a fragile body.
It's all for love,
you know. So that illusion is required to have love.
Purusham tamaham bhajami govindam adi purusham.
Oh,
purab pake tui jamane korhamane jage Samuno e la gozza te che la nagora brace Ganna chahe janje ra ra Preme jala jala channa ranga Chara Shut
Kore Chachana Tube Takara Pauna Kauje. His divine grace of Ayachalana, the Bhaktivedanta Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Iskan, founder of Charya, Prabhupada ki jai, Radha Gauti, Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Namacharya Shadavira Stakur ki jai. Prem se kaho shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda sidvaita gadata shivasati gaur bhakta vrinda ki jai shri shri radha krishna gaur kapata sayam kun radha kunda giri govardhan ki jai vrindavanam ki jai maturam ki jai jagadathasami ki jai yubunamai ki jai shimati lasadeva ki jai samaveda bhakta vrinda ki jai gaur prabhananda hari hari gaur. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So read the translation. When the rising sun appeared in the east, the jewel of the twice born Lord Gauranga awakened, gathering his devotees around him. He set out to preach in the countryside towns and villages. Tatai, sounded the mridanga drums, and the cymbals chimed in time. Lord Gauranga's shimmering golden features danced, and his ankle bells jingled. Mukunda Madhava Yadava Hari chanted the devotees, their mouths filled with the vibrations. Calling out, they preached to those still sleeping. You spend your nights uselessly sleeping, and your days decorating your bodies. Although you have achieved a rare human birth, you do not care for this precious gift. Instead, you refrain from serving the darling of Yashoda and slowly fall through your last moments to death with every rising and setting of the sun. A day passes and is lost. Why then do you remain idle and not serve the Lord of the heart? This life is temporary and full of various miseries. Take shelter of the holy name as your only business. To penetrate the darkness of ignorance and bless everyone's heart, the sweet holy name is risen like the shining sun. Drink deeply the pure nectar of Krishna's holy name, which is the life and soul of Bhaktivinoda. The holy names aside, there is nothing to be had in all the 14 worlds. Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. So, before taking questions, any news about Bhakti Chumar? Okay. So we'll take some questions. Our devotees on the internet.
Let me just.
Full screen.
All right. Let me take them all off of. Yes. All right. Does anyone have any questions?
Hare Krishna, Gurudev, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you very much for nice class.
I don't recognize your voice. But... All right, so what's the question? Nalini Kant.
Gurudev, you just said that Krishna is doing that so that he can bring residents of Vrindavan more closer to him.
Yes.
Is it
intensify the relationship?
Yeah. Does that mean that residents of Vrindavan are not close enough, or Krishna wants more closeness?
No, there's no limit to how close the pure devotees can get and how much they can love, and the love expands. Prabhupada explained that at the beginning of the Krishna book, that we want our love to expand exponentially, you know, unlimitedly. Prabhupada didn't use the word exponentially, but I'm using that word. We want it to expand unlimitedly, and Prabhupada said it's like shining a light into a box. It can't go on forever, but when you shine it into outer space, it goes on forever. So, unfortunately, in most of our relationships that are not in relationship with Krishna or pure devotees or devotees, our love is just like hits a brick wall. You know, there's this, for example, there's, Purva Rag. But anyway, when you're separated from someone, you know, you feel great love, and just before meeting Purva Rag, then you're feeling intense anticipation, and then you get together, and there's love, you know, 6 months or something. And then, you know, I mean, it really does. People do love, but it's not the same intensity. I would say, you know, in the material world, there are people who love each other and continue their whole lives, and when one dies, the other one croaks. That definitely happens. But as far as the intensity of the love, it doesn't remain, at least from what I understand. It doesn't increase exponentially, let's say. But Krishna wants his devotees' love, just like Krishna, his glories are increasing exponentially. You know, even he can't understand how his glories are increasing in every moment. So Krishna wants his devotees' love to increase. So it brings them closer. It's not that they're not close. They're super close. But they can become super, super close, or even more close. Anyway, being here in this world, we can't understand it. How you can come close to someone and then more close every day, every second, every instant, more and more close and more intense. And that's why you can't experience it with a material body, because you'd be dead, as we were talking about yesterday.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Gurudev. Can I ask?
I mean, just like you're married and you love your wife, but it's not, the intensity is not there all the time, right? Yes, no.
Yes, Gurudev.
I mean, you're close to her, you love her, but it's not like exponential increase at every moment that you see her. It's not that when you're talking to me, of course she's probably watching, but it's not that when you're talking to me, you're thinking, when can I meet with my wife again? You know, you're just thinking, you know, I'm talking to Guru Maharaj. So anyway... But with a devotee, or even in the material world, one's in the purva rag, you know, one is thinking like that. So, but with a devotee, he's just thinking, when can I be with Krishna? Where is Krishna? And even when he sees Krishna, it's just like, you know, when they embrace Krishna with the story we're talking about right now, it just increases. There's no limit.
Someone's
objecting. There's some objections for the peanut gallery there. So anyway, so what? Who else has a question?
Can I ask one quick question today?
Yes.
So, as you mentioned that all the incarnations of Krishna, avatars of Krishna,
the Vishnu Tattva expansions, yeah.
Oh, Vishnu Tattva. So Lord Buddha doesn't come...
Lord Vishnu is not Vishnu Tattva, no. He's Jiva Tattva. Okay. So all the Vishnu Tattva expansions, that's God. They're God. They're the same person exhibiting more or less of God's opulences and qualities. But because of Yogamaya, the different expansions of Krishna may or may not be aware of what the other expansions of Krishna, the other expansions of Krishna are doing. And that's amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
And there's unlimited expansions. It's not just like a yogi with 9 expansions. But it's just like unlimited expansions of Krishna, unlimited devotees, and unlimited people in everyone's heart. I mean, limited paramatmas in everyone's heart. Or one paramatma, but he's manifest in everyone's heart. So that's amazing. I mean, when you think about Krishna and everything he does in the material world, you know, even as I mentioned the other day, microbiology, or anything he does in the spiritual world, or any of his various expansions, it's just, it blows your mind, to use an expression from the 1960s. It's just unbelievable. All right?
Thank you.
Thank you, Nalini Kant, my most faithful disciple. So... I guess we should end now because Nalini Kant used up everybody's question time. No, we're always depending on you to ask questions. So thank you very much. And we will... Oh, yes, one announcement while we're all online. I want everyone to be careful because of this coronavirus thing. Then I was talking to a devotee today who was going to visit her mother. And I was mentioning that... Even, you know, if there's a question of your mother's going out and doing things, don't embrace your mother, even though that appears to be heartless. And I'll give the example If your mother's going out, if your mother just stays home all the time and doesn't meet with anyone, it's a different thing. I'll give the example of my brother. My brother goes to see my mother once a week, and he wears a mask because he goes out. He has clients. You know, he's a doctor. And he wears a mask, and he doesn't go near his mother. I've seen it. When I talk to them, I see them on video. And he just keeps 6 feet or 10 feet away from my mother when he's visiting her house. So it's really important to understand how dangerous this virus is. I was reading some stories on the internet. It's not fake news. How people are suffering 2 or 3 months or 3 months after they get the virus. They're still suffering from the effects. It's not just a flu. It's a very serious thing. And I cannot caution the devotees enough about being cautious with this thing, because it's a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous thing. Okay? So please be careful and observe social distancing. Even when you go to visit your relative, if your relative happens to be going out, meeting other people like that, just be careful. Please. Okay, on that happy note, note of caution, we'll end class. Goodbye.